Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 4SC Q1 2013 financial results conference call on the 14th of May 2013. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Johan Olofsgård. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning to the U.S. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results in the first quarter of 2013. With me on the phone as today's speaker is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. Also with us here for the later Q&A session is Dr. Bernd Hensch, CDO of the company, and my name is Johan Olofsgård. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. Before we start, I would like to remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I turn the call over to Enno Spillner.
Yes, thank you, Johan, and welcome everyone to our Q1 results conference call. It's a pleasure having you all here today on the call, and this is the first opportunity I have to address you directly in my new function as the company's CEO. Given that I have been a member of 4SC's management board since September 2005, I think it's not necessary to introduce myself to you in more detail. What I would like to do today is providing initial impression of the strategic path which 4SC will take in close future. In managing the company, I, together with my colleagues on the management board team, which is Bernd Hensch and Daniel Fitt, will build on 4SC's tried and trusted business model. However, in the coming weeks, we will conduct some major adjustments to the company and focusing all our activities and resources even more intensely on harnessing our existing potential for value enhancement in specific ways. In this progress, we will first align the development strategy for our lead compound, resminostat, for the treatment of liver cancer more systematically to the market opportunities. For example, aim for the development towards the market in the first-line setting. Second, we will reprioritize our product portfolio. Third, we will analyze the potential for further cost-reducing measurements. Consequently, 2013 will be another busy year for the company, and I will comment on that also later in more detail. Now, let me report on the operational development highlights in Q1 2013. 4SC clearly can look back on an eventful and a successful first quarter. We have further advanced our business strategy and actively pushed ahead with the development of our compounds. January's decision to grant 4SC a European patent means that we have now secured patent protection for our cancer drug resminostat in all of the world's key pharma markets, especially in China, India, Japan, Europe, and the U.S., and thus decisively strengthened the strategic market position for our main value driver. The collaboration with our Japanese partner, Yakult Honsha, continues to return positive results for resminostat. Our partner is making good progress in the clinical development, aiming to position resminostat in the Japanese market as a first-line drug for treating liver cancer. Our second strategic pillar, which is 4SC Discovery GmbH, is making good progress as well and was able to announce new successful business deals in the first quarter of this year. In February, we announced an extensive three-year strategic research collaboration in oncology with the German-based biopharma company BioNTech AG. We thus broadened the scope of the clinical deal in cancer immunotherapy, which we had already signed with BioNTech at the end of 2012. Also in February, we signed off an exclusive research and license option agreement with the Danish pharmaceutical company Leo Pharma in the field of psoriasis. 4SC Discovery has received an upfront payment of 1 million euro and will receive further payments for funding our research work being conducted for Leo Pharma. In addition, we may receive potential future milestone payments of up to 95 million euros plus potential royalties as well. It is also largely due to upfront payments of in total 3.5 million euros from these two partnerships that 4C was able to enjoy its first quarter in 4C's history with a positive operating cash flow. All in all, these achievements work to further enhance our position as an attractive partner for the pharma and biotechnology industry in drug research. On March 6th of this year, 4C announced that Dr. Ulrich Dauer would be stepping down as a member of the management board and chief executive officer of 4C AG, effective on of 31st of March 2013 for personal reasons. The supervisory board appointed me, Enno Spillner, CFO since September 2005, as the new CEO and CFO, effective from April 1st, 2013, for a three-year term. Now, let me report on the financial performance, cash flows, and financial position of 4C in Q1 2013, or as March 31st, 2013, respectively. Before I will comment on the Q1 numbers, I would like to inform you that for the first time, our quarterly report was viewed by our new auditor, Ralf's partner, here located in Munich, being the successor of KPMG auditors. After KPMG auditors audited us since the annual statement of 2006, the supervisory board and the management decided to suggest a new auditor to the AGM, which was approved in early May, and Ralf's partner will be responsible for reviewing the IFRS half-year report and, of course, the 2013 annual report of 4C Group, according to IFRS, and of the 4C AG, according to German GAAP. But now let me come to the financial numbers. And thanks to the significantly higher revenue and lower costs, our consolidated operating results continued to improve in the first quarter. With a loss per share of 0.05 euro, we virtually halved the figure of the first quarter of 2012. With financing secured into the third quarter of 2014, we also have an adequate financial base for a biotechnology company of our size. Now coming to the P&L. Consolidated revenue was at 0.8 million euros in the first quarter of 2013, more than double the figure in the compared to the comparative period in 2012, which was at 0.4 million euros. And this positive development was mainly attributable to the cooperation agreements which were signed with the BioNTech AG and Leo Pharma in December 2012 and February 2013, respectively. Revenue in the development segment remained basically stable at 0.2 million euros, while the discovery and collaborative business segment's revenue quadrupled to close to 0.6 million euros. Operating expenses comprising the cost of sales, distribution costs, research and development costs, and administration costs stood at 3.5 million euros in Q1 2013, a decrease of 16% on the prior year figure of 4.2 million euros. R&D costs continued to make up for the majority of expenses as a result of the ongoing clinical studies, which is not a big surprise, I guess. However, they declined by 31% quarter on quarter to 2 million euros compared to 2.9 million euros in Q1 2012 and account for the reason for the reduction was the reduced clinical study activities plus the implementation of targeted cost cutting measurements. The company's loss from the operating activities decreased by 28% on the back of higher revenue and lower operating expenses. The operating loss posted for the first 3 months of 2013 amounted to 2.7 million euros compared to 3.8 million euros in Q1 2012. As a consequence, the net loss for the period improved by 28% year on year to 2.7 million euros after 3.7 in Q1 2012. The improvement in the loss for the period, along with the simultaneous increase in the underlying average number of shares resulting from the capital increase performed in 2012, reduced the loss per share from 9 euro cent in the first quarter of 2012 to 5 euro cent in the quarter under review. If we take a look at the results from a segment report perspective, we recognize an EBIT level on an EBIT level. The result for the discovery segment amounting to minus 0.5 million euros or 17% compared to minus 2.3 million euros or 83% in the development segment. In total, we experienced no surprises regarding the balance sheet as well, and therefore I will only comment on some selected items here. The decrease in current financial assets from 15.7 million euros as at end of December 2012 to 13.5 million euros at the end of March 2013 is mainly the result of the decline in trade accounts receivable due to the upfront payment received from BioNTech in the first quarter of this year in connection with the license agreement entered into in December 2012 already. This figure was down by 2.5 million euros to 0.5 at the end of the reporting date. The decline in equity from 21.8 million euros as at 31st December 2012 to 19.2 million euros as at 31st March 2013 was influenced primarily by the loss of the period of 2.7 million euros, lifting the accumulated deficit accordingly from 108.7 million euros to now 111.4 million euros. The equity ratio declined by 3 percentage points from 75% at the end of 2012 to 72 at the end of March of this year. Total assets / total equity and liabilities amounted to 26.6 million euros at end of March, down 9% on the end of year figure, which was at 29.1 million euros. This decrease is primarily attributable also to the loss for the period, of course. Now moving on to the cash flows. Cash flows from operating activities in the first quarter of 2013 were positively influenced most by the group's income from the license agreement entered into with BioNTech and with Leo Pharma. In the first quarter of 2013, 4C thus generated a positive quarterly cash flow from operating activities for the first time in 4C's AG history. In the comparative 2012 period, a pre-tax loss of 3.7 million euros resulted in cash outflows from operating activities in the amount of 3.8 million euros. As at 31st of March 2013, the company had funds totaling 2.2 million euros, 12.2 million euros compared to 12.1 million euros at the end of 2012. This resulted in an average monthly inflow of cash from operations amounting to 60,000 euros per month in the first quarter. So all in all, on the financial side, things went in the right direction and we are quite confident with that. However, I don't want to conceal that we were required to announce an equity B section, thus the halving of our share capital by standards of German Commercial Code or HGB at our parent company for CAG in March and in accordance with the German Stock Corporation Law. This so-called equity B section largely is due to the loss carried forward as planned under 4C's business model and thus has no material effect whatsoever on our business operation, especially as we have considerably improved our cash reach during the last two quarters. At any rate, We discussed this matter in detail at our AGM on May 2nd, 2013, and currently there will be no immediate measures derived out of this announcement. Nevertheless, that news was the main reason for the overall negative performance of 4SC stock in the reporting quarter. After a good start to the quarter, the equity B section, probably due to sales of some investors in a relatively tight market, caused a significant hit to the share price, of which we did not yet fully recover. All in all, share price declined by 15% in the first quarter. Just some brief comments on our staff. As at the end of March 2013, the 4SC Group had a total of 86 employees, identically basically to end of 2012, and out of that, the development segment had 59 employees at the end of the quarter, while the discovery and collaborative business segment consisted of 27 employees. I now would like to point out and explain in more detail to you the strategic changes we decided in the beginning of May. After closely reviewing the development strategy and the entire development portfolio, the management board of FirstC AG, in close alignment with the supervisory board, by the way, decided to further focus the company's strategy with a clear orientation on value generation and further cost optimization. The strategic adjustments basically consist of three elements. First, focus on the development of resminostat in advanced liver cancer in a first-line setting instead of a second-line setting. Second, reprioritization of the current product pipeline. Third, evaluation of further cost-reducing options. Some background on resminostat here. We decided in early May to henceforth focus on the development of resminostat as a first-line drug for the treatment in HCC. By conducting further clinical trials with support from partners if required, the company aims to obtain approval in first-line therapy for liver cancer applied in combination with the cancer drug sorafenib. Our resources and activities in the coming months will be concentrated on this specific matter, and in comparison to a second-line strategy, the first-line option would likely take longer to market approval, but address a significantly larger market, while also enabling us to reach the next key milestones in the clinical development value chain faster and more cost-effective. The next development steps in such a strategy could be implemented in conjunction with partners, but also largely on our own, which would significantly increase resminostat's potential value remaining within 4SC AG. We will examine all promising development scenarios and plan the next steps accordingly. This focus is based on the positive phase 2 trial data achieved with resminostat in combination therapy with sorafenib and builds on both the promising efficacy and good tolerability of the new therapeutic approach. Further factors influencing this decision were talks with potential partners and also talks with regulatory agencies, in particular FDA's preference for the development of resminostat in combination with sorafenib as a new first-line therapy option. Also, we considered recent developments in the market and competitive field. Last but not least, we would also align our development strategy with the occult honchas approach for Japan. Moreover, we decided to streamline and reprioritize the company's further research and development portfolio. The measures taken will include a precise analysis of the potential value of each individual compound in 4SC's product pipeline and the corresponding focus of the research and development program. Any funds freed up will be principally used for the compounds with the largest value potential. We already decided that we will discontinue the programs 4SC203 and 4SC207, plus two early-stage research programs as well. We will also go in a new direction with vidofludimus, our drug candidate for the treatment of autoimmune diseases. Since 4SC will use its own personal and financial resources primarily to develop resminostat for market approval for the HCC indication, we do not intend to develop vidofludimus any further without financing from external sources. For this reason, in addition to the ongoing partnering talks with pharmaceutical and biotech companies, 4SC will now conduct further talks with financial and project investors so as to be able to realize the planned further clinical development of vidofludimus. We will continue to evaluate the portfolio of 4SC for additional cost saving and value optimization potential. I am coming to the outlook on 2013 and beyond. So what can you expect from 4SC going forward from here? And let me here start with the financial outlook first. As mentioned before, the 4SC group had funds of 12.2 at the end of Q1 2013. And these existing funds, in connection with the current forecast of further expense and revenue planning, will ensure the company's financing into the third quarter of 2014. This forecast is based on the assumption that the average monthly operating cash burn rate in 2013 will be approximately at 0.6 million euros per month, and that the company's research and development programs will run according to plan. 4SC expects its loss situation to continue into the short and medium term, although research and development costs in 2013 are currently expected to be lower than in 2012. Accordingly, the group's operating loss before adjustment for non-recurring effects should continue to decline year on year, thanks to falling costs on the expected improvement in earnings as contributed by the activities of the 4C Discovery GmbH. As mentioned already, in consequence of the decision to streamline our product portfolio and the discontinuation regarding the substances 4C203 and 4C207, as well as two earlier research programs, we expect to incur one-off extraordinary non-cash expenses of around 850,000 euros in the second quarter of 2013. Based on the strong performance of 4SC Discovery GmbH to date during the current financial year, we expect our subsidiary to be able to achieve a balanced cash flow from operating activities in 2013. The alignment of the development strategy as well as the new priorities in the product portfolio will have some additional effects on 4SC overall cost structures. 4SC is aiming to further reduce its costs and focus its financial resources more efficiently on the value drivers in the company so as to obtain the greatest possible freedom of movement for the continued development of the company and of the value creation within the company. Finally, let me comment on the further developments in the company strategy and operations. Later on in 2013, 4SC expects to release data from several clinical trials as follows. Following the publication of the positive clinical data on overall survival for resminostat from the phase 2 SHELTER trial in advanced liver cancer in late 2012, the company plans to publish the additionally evaluated data from this trial, including the data from the extensive biomarker analysis in 2013. We also expect to publish results from our phase 1 trials with the anti-cancer agents 4C202 and 4C205. And here we assume to publish the results of the phase 1 TOPAZ dose escalation study with the epigenetic compound 4C202 in patients with advanced hematological tumors in the second half of 2013. Furthermore, data from the phase 1 Aegis trial with the EG5 kinesine compound 4C205 in patients with solid tumors, a trial which, by the way, was amended and extended in December 2012 to include the testing of an innovative dosage regime, are scheduled to be published by mid-year of 2013. With regard to the ongoing phase 1/2 short trial in which resminostat is being tested in combination with the FOLFIRI chemotherapy in colorectal cancer, the complete data from the phase 1 part of the trial will be ready for publication shortly. And up to now, this new therapeutic approach has shown good tolerability. If we decide to start the phase 2 part of this trial timely, we could estimate that the study could deliver data on clinical efficacy in the next 12 to 18 months from now. We are positive to see interesting news from our partner Yakult as well. with regard to its ongoing phase one and further anticipated trials with resminostat in Japan. Regarding the further development of resminostat in HCC, 4C will finalize its clinical development plan for the first-line therapy and then discuss this further with our partner Yakult, further potential partners, and regulatory authorities. As stated before, we expect that with the first-line strategy, the next important clinical step forward value creation could be achieved earlier and more cost-effectively than with a phase 3 registrational trial, which could be immediately scheduled in the second-line strategy. For vidofludimus, our activities are focusing on the search of suitable partners with whose support the company plans to conduct a phase 2b trial in the Morbus Crohn indication. As already described, and in addition to the ongoing partnering talks with pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies, we have also initiated talks with project and financial investors to accelerate this substance development. Overall, 4C aims to secure further licensing deals with companies from the pharma and biotech industry to ensure the advancement of its clinical development programs. This is intended to generate a flow of funds, safeguard the product's further development, and enable 4C to participate in the substance's successful future development. Following initial successes, our subsidiary 4C Discovery GmbH is currently focusing its efforts on securing further research collaborations with companies in the pharmaceutical and biotech sectors, as well as early-stage partnering deals for the commercialization of its own research programs. We are confident to be able to report on further news flow here soon. So in summary, I think it's fair to say that 4C in 2013 will see another busy year for the company. And together with the management board or my management colleagues, I look forward to steering 4C through this important phase in the development of our company. In recent years, 4C has developed into a highly innovative company that with resminostat and other drug candidates has potential future blockbuster drugs in its portfolio. I myself firmly believe that 4C is capable of further realizing this potential. So stay tuned for continued news flow with regard to 4C's clinical product development plus 4C discovery activities as well. Having said that, I would like to thank you for your continued interest, and we are now open to your questions. Operator, please take over. Operator, could you please take over?
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. The first question comes from Marietta Mimieti from Equinet. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Most of my questions relate to resminostat. One question is, it's obviously very early days, but I'm just wondering, could you give us any feel at all for the earliest possible launch date for the drug in first-line HCC? And also in terms of next steps, can you give us a rough feel of what the timelines might be and what types of studies or analyses you're going to be doing, or when you might be able to communicate decisions in that regard? And then also, just very generally on the requirements for filing in the U.S. and Europe, is there any chance at all that you could file on phase 2 data? And will you definitely need overall survival data, or has the FDA indicated to you that in this indication they might exceptionally accept PFS data in the frontline setting? And very much related to that, of course, the cost of any of these next steps and the overall cost of bringing the drug to market. Just wondering, would you be able to finance the entire first-line HCC program out of your own funds? Or I also saw in the press release that you're getting a higher degree of mutual support from Yakulta. Does that imply that they might be willing to contribute most of the financing required to bring this drug to market? And that you might not need any additional partners at all. And finally, also relating to Resminostat, I mean, your guidance for 2013 R&D spend below 2012 levels, does that include all potential further steps for Resminostat, or would you be willing to accept higher R&D expenses and maybe higher losses and shorter cash reach in order to move Resminostat forward? And, yeah, maybe I'll just pause here before I move on to the other compounds.
Yeah, thank you. That's quite a few interesting and important questions, I think. So with regard to the development questions of Resminostat, I would hand over to Bernd to answer these questions, and I will then later come back to your financing questions and budgeting questions.
All right. Thank you for your questions. I mean, you almost asked the full business plan for the further development, but I will try to give you a sort of consolidated answer on that. Basically, the next steps, what would they look like in first-line HCC development? We anticipate certainly to run a study that will compare the only existing gold standard sorafenib monotherapy and compare it to the combination of resminostat plus sorafenib. That is based on the data from our SHELTER trial that delivered good, very nice OS results with that combination. So we're transferring this data set into a first-line setting. The timelines we anticipate could look, and please bear with me that we cannot fix them fully yet. We are in the process of API production right now. That all has to be finalized and then into drug product supply for the clinical trial. But I think it can be expected that an advanced next clinical study could be initiated, let's say, towards the end of this year. And if it is early next year, that is something, you know, which is in line with our expectations. A clinical trial of this type would probably include a few hundred patients. The range is not yet fully fixed, but I believe something between 600 and 700 patients is something very feasible. We anticipate that the trial could last approximately 3 years with a data delivery point about 3.5 years down the road, plus, let's say, 3/4 of a year for approval, which altogether from the start of the trial to a approval, possibly in the range of 4 to 4.5 years. So you can expect an approval in first-line HCC, according to our study plan, sometime earliest in 2018. And that obviously depends on a lot of factors like recruitment speed, competition, and the like. Your next question was what type of data would be accepted by authorities. It is absolutely clear, and there is no way around it, that overall survival data will be the primary endpoint leading to approval. It will not be any surrogate or PFS point in time. You need OS data, and you have to power your study accordingly, therefore, statistically assuming this statistically significant for OS, you require these 600 to 700 patients in such a trial, and there is no way around that. I hope I covered the launch, possible launch. I covered the next steps. Always also included, possibly important to say, that study could be performed in an adaptive design with an interim analysis which would actually deliver an interim value inflection point that also would be of value to us for further partnering talks at this point in time. So with that, I pass over back to Enno for the financial discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Bernd. With regard to your questions on the financial part, so in our current budgets, as we indicated them here and as we forecasted them here, these numbers are not yet incorporated for in-house trial of HCC Resminostat, because this depends on the final solution that we will elaborate with potential partners, and this is something we are working on as of today. If we would take that fully on our account, we would then have to adjust our R&D spendings here, And this also comes into your second part of the question. Also in the current financings and cash reach phase, or this first line HTC trial is not mirrored in our forecast as well. So that would be on top. With regard to financing, we of course are in talks with different partners and continue that process in parallel based on the current feedback.
Okay, thank you, Roger. That's very helpful. And can I just ask a few questions on the other compounds as well? They're much, much shorter.
Go ahead.
So just wondering on vidofludimus, I mean, what is sort of the maximum amount of financing that you would be willing to contribute if you found a very strong partner? So if you found somebody who's very interested in vidofludimus but who said, well, you know, we would like 4SC to make a contribution as well. And my other question is just on 202 and 205. The decision to continue is obviously still outstanding. So will that decision just depend 100% on the upcoming data that you mentioned? And can you already share with us what exactly you're looking for in order to make a go, no-go decision? Or are there any other criteria? And do you have any sort of feel for how much money you would dedicate to these products if they were to show interesting data? I.e., how reliant will you actually be on external financing for future development for these products as well? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe to summarize first, or give you a summarized answer on your question. Currently, as we clearly indicated, the major focus on our further work will be on Resminostat, and this is where we have our major efforts and capacities driven towards. And once we have a clear picture here on how we proceed, we will then be able to follow up with the other compounds with regard to vidofludimus for C202 and for C205, for instance. So the decision on how much we can invest into these other projects will clearly depend also on the progress that we can make with Resminostat at first hand, because we clearly think Resminostat is currently the high potential within 4C at the very moment, and this is where we should focus on. Coming back to vidofludimus and special, so our idea would be here that we find a partner who is willing to, if it would be a financing partner, who is willing to take over the financial contribution to a next phase 2B trial in Morbus Crohn. And however, this contribution can be different depending on how you want to design this trial, and there's a big range basically you could make use of if you're going for induction only, or if you're going for maintenance in parallel, and so that has a big impact on the financing. From our side, we would contribute the expertise, the know-how, the assets to drive this compound forward. And with regard to 4C22, I'm handing over to Bernd again.
Yeah, 202 and 205 being our two products currently in phase one, and both of them are closing into the end of their phase one investigation very shortly, as Enno pointed out to you. Actually, both trials have been amended, so to speak, with additional study cohorts, and that is indicative of the good tolerability of either of the two compounds. So that allowed us now to study additional dosing regimen to really elucidate the most optimal treatment conditions in a continued development. Having said that, both compounds are very different acting compounds, so you have a spindle acting activity in the 4SC205, and you have an epigenetic mode of action in 202, and obviously over the last years, 4SC has really accumulated a whole bunch of expertise in the epigenetic setting, and therefore, obviously, 4SC202 is in a way a very natural type of compound to be continued in our clinical development plan. However, the financial resources, as Enno pointed out, will have to be allocated to the most promising of the two, and all of that is under the condition that Resminostat is being financed in the first place. And then we have to see whether we can continue one of the other two, and if that is the case, select one and probably then partner the other one. But the decision is not yet taken, will be data-driven. But having said that, 202 being an epigenetic drug certainly is very close to our expertise that we have established over the last 5 years specifically. And therefore, we're looking very much forward to also publishing these data in the near future.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. The next question comes from Mike Atkinhead from Edison. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. They're really just focused on resminostat and HCC. The first question is about the trial design. You were talking about an adaptive trial. Are we to assume that would be a phase 2B into phase 3 seamless type design? Secondly, in terms of the interim analyses, what would you be focusing on? Would we be looking to get some response and or PFS data for a go-no-go decision into phase 3? Thirdly, just on the cost of this trial, can you just give an estimate of what you project the total cost of development for an adaptive trial would be in this setting? And finally, have you had any feedback from the EMA about your plans in frontline in combination with Dorafenib?
Can you repeat the last sentence, please?
The final question was just about feedback on your plans from the European Medicines Agency, whether you've had discussions with them about the planned trial design and frontline HCC.
Yeah, I can start answering your questions before I pass over to Enno for the financial requirements. I think you put it quite correctly what our views on the first-line development are. They are not fixed yet, so the statistical plans are not fully captured yet. We're working on that. But generally speaking, you are right. It would be a type of a trial that would combine an initial phase 2B part, and then if in an interim analysis, and I come to that, the predefined conditions are being met, that would automatically lead to additional recruitment firing into a full-blown phase 3 with OS as its final endpoint. The interim analysis would allow for an adaptation of patient numbers if required, and it would primarily look at TTP events, again, statistics not fully fixed yet, and also then to a predefined number of overall survival events or deaths, basically, that have to be captured before a solid statistical interim analysis can make up for possible adaptation required to translate that trial into a full-blown phase 3. But again, generally speaking, you are fully right. It would be a 2B with an interim analysis allowing for possible adaptation and firing into a full-blown phase 3, allowing us also a data point early on, possibly then allowing us for also for additional values and more investments or partnering activities. In terms of talks to regulatory authorities, we broadly discussed the clinical possibilities in HCC with authorities on both sides of the Atlantic. We focused at this point in time on second-line treatment, but specifically with the FDA, first-line was a very important issue. They actually favored first-line development, arguing that there is still a very high medical need in first-line and obviously nothing in second-line. But that prompted us also, besides some recent failures in HCC in first-line, prompted us to enter into that indication because first-line indication because there is less competition right now in first-line as it actually appears in second-line. Second-line, there are currently roughly three main competitors that really turned out to go for approval in second-line. And roughly speaking, there is almost no true competitor anymore in first-line. So because some failures have been reported in the last 1 year or so, and that, in addition to FDA discussions with partners, that really leaves now a very hot spot in first-line development. And specifically, since we go in combination, we don't have to compare ourselves head-to-head to sorafenib, but rather improve sorafenib's activity by adding resminostat, and that is just a very high chance of success here. And with that, I pass over to Enno.
Yeah, thank you, Bernd. with regard to your question, Mike, on the overall cost, we are calculating that right now. We do have some good ideas here. We are not disclosing them yet in detail. However, what I can clearly say is that the financial burden of the first part of what Bernd just described would be significantly lower compared to the phase 3 pivotal trial in a second line setting, which we always estimated at about 40 million euros for zero. And this would be, so the first part of this first line setting would be probably in the ballpark of 50% of that.
Okay, and just a follow-up question in terms of the numbers required for the phase 2B. I realize it's early days in terms of the planning of the trial, but can you just give us a very broad idea about how many patients you might think would be required to get you to that data point in phase 2B to make the decision to go into the full-blown phase 3?
Well, we have a fair idea, but as long as the statistics are not really fully calculated, I think it would be too early to really speak to that. The overall survival endpoint that you require for approval is more straightforward. I mean, you would take the classical statistical requirements, you know, and then calculate with simple statistics, so to speak, what your number would be required, and that is in the range of 600 to 700 patients, I would say, depending on your assumptions, what delta you would like to achieve and so forth. But again, it would be premature to tell you what the exact number in terms of interim analysis data would be. And also that certainly is very confidential information, which we probably might share at a later point in time, but certainly not today. Sorry for that.
Okay. Brilliant. Thanks for your answers.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There appear to be no further questions. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you very much. Then I'll take over. Once again, thank you for participating in this Q1 call today. I think as Bernd and I just described also in the Q&A, we do have very exciting times ahead of us. We have some new strategies. We will make sure that 4C stays focused and still elaborates on its main value drivers, and we do have some really good feedback also here from external parties that this is a good way to continue, and we will keep you posted on that development, plus, of course, clinical and discovery news flow, hopefully in the close future, from also the other compounds and from Discovery GmbH. Having said that, thank you to you all, and talk to you soon. Best.
This concludes the 4SC Q1 2013 Financial Results Conference Call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.